Hello, everybody, and welcome to Just the Tip. Today, I'm the guest, Isman. We got Jeremy, Wilson, and Bluemander around the table here.
For the record, Bluemander is Johnny.
Bluemander's Johnny. Whatever. I'm new. Leave me alone. There's no need to be mean.
Okay, I guess we could do it by voice. So, I'm Wilson.
I'm Johnny.
And whoever's remaining is Jeremy, who hasn't spoken.
Oh, hi.
Good job.
Sorry, people are activating my trap cards.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I'm not even paying attention to this podcast anyway. Speaking of...
Oh, what?
All right. So, I guess let's get this started by, big news in overseas right now in the United Kingdom. The birth of Prince George of Cambridge, the third in line to the throne. The Prime Minister, Cameron, is also considered banning pornography in United Kingdom, which has been greeted with a bunch of outroar and everything.
Why would they ban such a wonderful thing?
I'm not sure it's necessarily banning. He's blocking it until you can absolutely prove you're over a certain age, is I'm pretty sure what it was going for.
Actually, I guess banning is a bad word, but what he's doing, I think, I remember reading this, is... you can't have porn in your internet connection will not allow porn unless you specifically ask for it, and in which case they'll probably have to verify that you're 18. So yeah, all the internet companies actually won't allow you to access pornography unless you directly indicate to the cable company, yes, I want porn.
Well, that's scary. Now the government's watching everybody who has porn.
I don't know. Is this something the government would really want to watch? I mean, some people don't really have the best taste. You know, some people aren't the concierge of the pornography industry. They watch that lowbrow stuff. You know, I'm talking about highbrow pornography.
Is there such a thing? Seriously?
I don't know. It's like the.
Would you call it classy?
There's premium memberships, which you pay for, and then there's cheap, free shit. That's the distinction, is my guess.
Who pays?
So I had a friend in high school who actually paid, and he indicated to me that this was the best $20 he spent, as well as the most productive, or least productive, month of his life. So, if that's any indication, I think. He told me, you should definitely buy a membership, and I was like... really, something I want on my credit card statement.
I have paid for porn once in my life. It was a trial, and I downloaded the entire library and left.
Wow, this guy.
I have no filters. You're gonna learn that pretty quick. I don't care what people know about me. Minus a few extreme details, but let's not talk about that. I don't need to be revealing too much to the public in general.
So speaking of reveals, I guess, Xbox has, of course, revealed that they are now opening up the Xbox One to indie self-publishing, which is a series of bunch of backtracks from the original release or the information we got before E3. I mean, just in general, do you think this is going to help Xbox sales, or did they just react too slowly to what the consumer market wanted?
I don't know.
I get...
Sorry, audience, in case you can't tell, I'm not really paying attention at the moment. My bad.
Okay, so he's dueling someone as a shadow duel, so if he loses, he'll just, disappear
from
the
podcast. This isn't a shadow duel.
At around, the 20-minute mark when he does lose, he'll just disappear from the podcast. We'll lose the audio.
Face.
We'll lose the audio.
I've got Abeluk the Toy Mints on my side.
So what, are you going to go into a deep, dark corner and be depressed about your loss, or...?
I'm not. I didn't lose. I didn't lose.
Fair enough, I guess.
Tower Games is serious business, yo.
The indie thing, it is a complete reverse, because what they started out, and they were pretty restrictive in indie games, and they've been backpedaling ever since the launch, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I like really think about is that, you know, Xbox, the Xbox One, the idea that they started with was a pretty good idea. I felt like that's actually what I'd rather they had stayed with DRM and, you know, all that, like, random cloud stuff. I feel like that would have been something different, because I just feel like a lot of consumers just, like, jumped on the fact, oh, we can't play used games, and they just, like, kind of, like, went in that direction. But I feel like, honestly, like, they should have stayed with what they had.
Well, the whole idea behind their first thing was to get developers just as much money as they, like, to stop the killing of developers getting no money for all the resales. But at the same time, they tried to give themselves money too, obviously. It's a novel idea, but if not, everybody would have had to follow it for it to have worked in the first place. And Sony was just like, yep, screw that. You shot yourself in the... Or you put the gun in your mouth. I just pulled the trigger for you.
I mean, I felt like DRM... Like, I'm a huge proponent of DRM and, like, all that online stuff that Xbox One originally was a big part of. Because a lot of people just didn't understand what they were doing. Essentially, what they were doing was saying, we're going to store a lot of your games on, like, the internet, and that's why you kind of need to connect. But then again, like, people kind of were like, oh, you know, like, what if we don't have an active internet connection? I mean, like, it's like, I understand, like, the only group of people I'd really, like, feel, like, you know, intensely sad for is, like, you know, obviously, like, those in the armed forces overseas, where, you know, having a reliable internet connection is very, you know, scarce. But to be honest, it's just, like, I feel like there's a great potential behind, you know, online sharing, which is what DRM really is. Like, essentially, your neighbor could own a game, and you could essentially be like, okay, you know, I don't own this game, but can I play it? Can I play, like, do a multiplayer thing on your console? And the DRM would actually enable you to kind of download a temporary version of that game to play. It's kind of like what they did with the 3DS, with the DS, and that's, like, a really big step. I feel like there's so much you could have done with that, but, you know, so it's not what the consumers want right now.
Well, PlayStation has that similar thing where the person can take over the game for you, they can watch you, they can, and there's still all the online stuff anyways. So, I think it's a pretty big cop-out, one of the few for PlayStation, but everything else, they still trump Xbox in at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a great comparison where, like, they just show, you know, exclusive. I think a big part of this selling point is that PS, the PlayStation, just has so many more exclusive games for the console. It's a ridiculous amount that, you know, Xbox just doesn't really have. Like, the main sellers for, you know, the Xbox One are going to be Halo, and that's about it. Like, that's, like, the main selling point is actually just Halo for the Xbox. But, I mean, one thing is definitely, like, I guess if people ever really enjoy the Kinect, which I just feel the Kinect has been, like, motion sensing has just been really awkward. I don't enjoy, like, the Kinect or, like, you know, the Sony Move or, like, you know, the Wii stuff. But yeah, I guess the Kinect is the thing that Xbox really wants to try making work, because they're putting out so many exclusive games for the Kinect, and it's just, like, people just don't want it, and it's kind of sad that, you know, that Xbox is putting so much time into doing something.
The Xbox One will be able to work without Kinect. They've announced that there will be a version released later that is like the basic bundle that does not have a Kinect at all.
No, they denied that today, actually.
They denied it? Oh, yeah. I missed that.
Like, they said that, because there was, like, the rumor going around that would happen, and they came out and said there's not going to be any Xbox that come without a Kinect. They say, like, you should have it to enhance the experience.
Well, I don't think it's much of an enhanced experience. I don't know if you've seen the meme, but I'm going to buy both a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One so the Xbox can watch me play the PlayStation.
I mean, it's...
But,
from
the... Yeah. My problem with the Kinect is, I don't know if you heard about this, but during the Wii... in-game, like, during one of the big events, they had Wii's in stores at Best Buy that you could play there. Like, you could play all the new stuff and stuff like that. And they had Microsoft Xbox employees, like, going around and trying to sell people on this. And one of the people doing that was just like, yeah, but I don't like the idea of the Kinect watching me and like telling everybody what I'm doing. And he's like, the response was, most of what the Kinect takes in, it does not leave the Xbox. Why does any of it leave the Xbox? That is my problem. Why?
I mean, I just feel like, you know, it's kind of like Netflix and everything like that, to be honest. I watch Netflix, and sometimes it's just like, oh, your friends find this interesting. And, like, you know, sometimes, yeah, sometimes it's great, like, you know, people who have my friends been watching, or it's basically like the Facebook concept. Yeah, essentially nothing on your Facebook should ever leave your Facebook, but, you know, people do want to catch up with you and see what you've been doing, and that's the entire purpose of why you use it. You know, it's, I just feel like, you know, if you're playing games, I don't really see what the big deal is in terms of like, oh, it's like recording what you've played. I really doubt it's like what people are like fearing. It's like, oh, it's recording what I'm doing on the couch, and it's probably just recording, like, to be honest, like what games you played, and, you know, in the instance that, you know, your friends want to like join on or something, they'll know what you're playing. I mean, that's nothing new. I mean, in the instance that Kinect somehow, Microsoft somehow has developed the technology to, like, actually use the Kinect as a webcam, which I really doubt if it's, like, a personalized thing that they've done. I really doubt. I mean, if they have the technology, then, you know, that's pretty creepy, but, you know, I've done worse stuff in front of my computer.
Haven't we all? I still have a problem with it, mostly just because I feel like if it goes to the whole big NSA thing, I know, but not that I follow it that much, but there have been multiple companies, big companies, that have come out and been like, yeah, we've given the NSA private information and access to certain things and all this. And what's stopping Microsoft, if they haven't already, from just doing that and saying, here you go, take whatever you want?
I mean, that's like honestly the least of the worries. It was a really bad coincidence that like the week they released the Kinect, like the week before they were like, oh yeah, NSA has like Prism and stuff. I mean, people are definitely overreacting to what exactly Prism is. It's just like, it's more like if you're doing something illegal, yeah, you know, you should be kind of worried. But people are just saying, oh no, they're going to read my emails and like everything. Well, if you have like relevant information that's like really just like sensitive, like, oh, I'm running, you know, a child prostitution ring, yeah, you know, of course you'd be kind of worried. But, you know, if it's like the standard email saying, hey, guess what I did on Wednesday, like, you know, not run a child prostitution ring, you know, like, that's not like the NSA isn't gonna be like, oh man, you know, all these secrets and keep like a diary of this stuff. You know, that's not like what it is. It's mainly just, you know, a security procedure. And I guess people just get really, you know, paranoid about all this
stuff.
God
damn it.
And he lost. So Jeremy will disappear from this podcast in like 5 minutes.
Oh, damn it. I had the Winged Dragon of Ra out. He had 10,000 attack and defense. 10,000.
Jeremy's going to the shop.
Fuck. I quit. Screw that game.
I was getting pretty
put
pissed
it to the top
earlier.
Of my dick. Screw that guy.
Earlier I was playing through the original Half-Life remastered, the Half-Life Source. I bought that during the Steam summer sale. I bought all the Half-Lifes. Oh my god, there are some moments in the first Half-Life that I just... I almost threw my freaking keyboard across the room. It drives me crazy.
Are the zombies pretty bad in that game?
Half-Life Source?
I don't know any of the Half-Life games.
There's no zombies, they're all aliens.
Oh. Let's try though.
The bad part is you get thrown into a lot of situations where they spawn all around you and you just kind of flounder around shooting in every direction. And then there's a lot of jumps over like trip mines and stuff like that that you have to do just right, otherwise you die and you have to start over. The worst part is no autosave.
Oh yeah.
There's zero autosave. Oh my god, I didn't figure that out until I was like an hour and a half in. Put me
that's
back
like
to the
Legend
beginning.
Of Zelda status.
Oh, I love Legend of Zelda. I never had that problem with Legend of Zelda because I press B to get out of everything anyway. So every time
but
I'm in the menu,
well.
It happens.
Yeah, I don't know. Legend of Zelda is just a... I mean, like, Half-Life is good. I mean, that's like the epitome. People like always compare Half-Life as like, you know, the epitome of good gaming. But I've never had a bad experience with a Zelda game. I mean, Half-Life, I feel like... Yeah, you know, a lot of people aren't just gonna get into Half-Life. Half-Life is a very, you know, first-person shooter kind of thing. It's like really that's what the what it kind of is. But so I know a lot of people who just don't get into it. But I've never met a person who's just been like, oh, I hate Legend of Zelda. It is the worst game ever put out. I mean, just you never have a bad experience with like that series.
When I first played Half-Life, it was on the 360, and it was a borrow from one of my friends, and it was Half-Life 2, and I couldn't get into it at all. But, this stuff, I just remember my brother playing a lot of it when I was a kid, and I watched it, and I was like, oh, I want to play that. And being the youngest, I never got to play these things, so... Now that I have all of them, I've made a determination that I need to play through all of them in order, even the ones not necessarily made by the same publisher.
I don't know, like, is that a thing? Like I think we mentioned this on, like, two podcasts ago or something, but is playing a series in order, like, really that crucial? Like, if you can't get, like, a hold, I remember the example was Assassin's Creed. If you couldn't get a hold of the first one, is it, like, would you just not play the series at all and wait until you somehow got the first one? Or would you just play 2, 3, or whatever one you had and then just been like, oh, whatever, I'll get to one when it comes around?
Well, it kind of depends on going.
For games since 2006, yeah, you can pick up and play it from anywhere in the series. They're made that way so it doesn't discourage people from buying them.
I mean, like, what is a game where you kind of had to start from the first one? Like, I'm trying to come up with like a good list, but I really can't think of it. You had to start specifically from the first one.
There's none where you have to, but there are big story elements missing. Like, Legend of Zelda, if you play Majora's Mask right off the back, there's a whole, like, another world missing. You don't know where any of these Gorons, any of it comes from.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you'd have to play Ocarina of Time and then pick up Legend of Zelda. But I mean, Majora's Mask was specifically created as like an expansion. I don't know, it was meant to be created as an expansion. Basically, they were like, they went to the developer and were like, you can either create, you know, like, the expansion for, like, you know, the follow-up to, you know, Ocarina of Time, or you can just do your own project. And I was like, I'm going to do my own project and then put out Majora's Mask, which is probably one of the most fun games on the 64. I would rate it,
rate
it higher than Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time for me was a little boring, but Majora's Mask is just, it's just so much fun with the mechanics and just, like, how the time thing works. It was a blast working with that game.
It was infuriating but wonderful at the same time.
Basically.
It was quite good. Before I get too far off, like, again, like, kind of with Zelda, like, in the beginning of Wind Waker, they talk about, like, the Hero of Time, and, like, if you can go through Ocarina of Time, like, you don't, like, really get the full experience out of that one.
I mean, but it's, like, it's kind of funny because in that instance, like, the Link that's in the game has no idea what the Hero Time is. He's just like, I have to dress up in this green outfit that, like, I had to wear for the rest of the trip. Like, that's the only thing going through the kid's mind. He doesn't know. He just doesn't know. He's like, I don't know about this, like, Link from the previous time.
I think the Elder Scrolls series are probably the most, like, playing the one before that is... it adds a whole new depth to the next game. Like, Skyrim, as soon as the Solstheim DLC came out, it was like, oh my god, back to Morrowind, let's do this. I was so stoked.
Oh, how many people, like, picked up Morrowind before they started playing, like, Skyrim or Oblivion? Because I know, like what? Morrowind for me, like, I randomly picked up.
I couldn't figure
just,
out
like,
how.
Just randomly picked up. Like, one day I was in GameStop and I was like, wow, Morrowind's like $3. Let me just pick this up for the Xbox. Like, and then I played Skyrim. And then, like, actually, I played Oblivion first, picked up Morrowind, and then went to Skyrim. And so it was just like, I did it out of order. But I can see, I definitely see what you mean. Like, there's so much, like callbacks to, like, the beginning of the series that's just, like, no one really knows.
And they make it that much better.
Although callbacks to the beginning of the series, by beginning of the series, everyone means Morrowind. No one means that 2D scroller from the very beginning.
The Elder Scrolls 1 or 2, yeah.
No one means that.
But of the three games I've played the most, Halo 2's probably in the top, Oblivion, and then Morrowind. I don't know what it is about Skyrim, but I just like Morrowind and Oblivion better. That Morrowind was great because it was just so free. You could do all these crazy glitches. You could get so many artifacts, so many everything, and it was wonderful.
I just want to point out that if we go back to the clip that we what you just said, you legitimately went Halo 2, Morrowind, and Oblivion.
Oh God, yeah. Halo 2, that was my glory days. Nothing will ever be as good as that. That was my my brother gave me his Xbox, and I was like, hey, there's an account with Live on here. What's this? And he's just like, oh, yeah, it's there for a year. Go for it. And I was just like, yes. And then that entire summer was nothing but me sitting in one of those mushroom chairs, drinking 2 liters of pop at a time, playing Halo. It was easily the most fun I've ever had gaming in my life.
For some reason, I think around like the time Halo 2 was big, I got into the competitive scene. Like I was like really like, you know how people like watch like, you know, college football or like, you know soccer. Like for the longest time, I was like really caught up into like, you know, professional MLG like Halo, and it was ridiculous, dude. Like I never took that game seriously. Like that game was like serious business after like I caught up in the thing. Like I never played that game for fun. It was like always competitive. Like I never found like, oh, you know, hey, I'm just having fun, like, you know, just goofing around. Like no, it was you do certain things on this map, you know where everything spawns, and it was like a really serious endeavor for me.
Do you remember any of your rankings?
I played in a few, like, you know, state, like local tournaments and stuff, and we had this...
No, I mean rankings, like online rankings,
dude,
like rank 32s.
I exclusively played LAN. I did not do the Xbox stuff. It was like that, it's that weird, like, Xbox Connect thing that they used to have. It was like, it's like you plug them into each other and then you just play on a LAN server. That's what we did. And, like, that's the only thing I did. Like, when I was practicing my friends, we just found, like, 8 people. We just practiced, like, really seriously. Like, I hardly ever did LAN. Most because, like, you know, I didn't want to pay for it. Like, for me, it was just, like, do I really want to, like, buy Xbox Live? And it was just, like, at the time, like, you know, school was also pretty important, so I didn't really want to, like, waste money on something. I was only going to get, like, a weekend of playing or so, but, yeah.
Then you might have missed out on the whole mod scene. Oh, man. Custom games on Xbox Live, always 16 people, one of them's a modder. Game is the most fun thing you've ever experienced. Spectre turrets flying around like banshees at full speed shooting each other. Shotguns that shoot tank rounds for every pellet. Oh, just crazy stuff all over the board. And I played more custom games than I did anything else in that. And I have friends on Xbox Live right now that I met when I was 11 or 12 playing Halo 2, and we're still friends on Xbox Live because nothing has ever been as social as the original Xbox Live. Like on the original Xbox. I don't know if you experienced that transition, but it got a lot more unpersonal pretty quick.
No, like for some reason, like I have experienced the new Xbox Live, but I always feel like I play with the sound off, like, almost, like, 50% of the time. If I walk into a room and I'm just, like, attacked, assaulted by, like, 12-year-olds, I put that game on mute. I'm not going to have a good time. It's just going to be, I did this to your mom, or I did that to your mom.
There was a lot less of that on the original Xbox. Like, a lot less.
I mean, oh, man, missed those days. Now it's kind of like, yeah, you know, it's just the... You know, I'm pretty sure your parents are not allowed to, like, let you technically play this game because, you know, it is M for mature. Like, you know, technically you are, like, you're still, like, not hitting puberty yet. Like, there's, like, a limit to what you can play. Like, you should play, like, you know, Super Monkey Ball because...
It's what you're supposed to play, not what you can.
Like Super Monkey Ball.
They can play anything they want as long as their parents agree, which is the problem.
Kind of sad, dude.
It's extremely sad because it's our generation of like parents that are letting their kids play these outrageously graphic games, and they just don't care because it's what they did when they were a kid when their parents weren't looking.
I mean,
and they're just
well,
like,
yeah, but it's like, if you think about it, like, it's the same thing. You see every stuff you see in game, you see in movies, you see in TV, you see it everywhere. It's not like a whole just games, and like, no matter what happens, a kid's gonna get into violent stuff.
I mean, but
almost
like,
always.
Like, I mean, you can't, like, a kid can't just go, I want, like, you know, a ticket to see, let's say, like, a great example of, like, a rated R movie was, you know, Clockwork Orange. Like, back in those days, you couldn't just be like, you know, 12 years old and be like, yo, I want a ticket for, like, the 9 o'clock showing of like, Clockwork Orange. Like, hell no. There was no way. And still, there's no way you can get into a rated R movie as a 12-year-old. That's, like, pretty difficult. But I feel like some parents just, like, some parents are like, no, we don't want you seeing, like, you know, we don't want you, like, for example, you know, in Britain, we don't want you watching porn. But, you know, if you want to play Call of Duty, that's perfectly fine. Like, that's the part I just don't get. I feel like there's, like, a certain standard that parents aren't getting. It's like, if you're not letting the kid, like, you know, like watch pornography, if you're not letting him, you know, go to, like, violent movies, what makes it okay to let him play Call of Duty?
I don't know if you guys went to RTX, but Kelly Dunlap, Goose Cheka, you know, Griffball Hub, she did a panel there. It was something along of mental health in video games, science versus stigma. She covered a lot of stuff about how video games are considered negative, but since, like, the dawn of all these violent video games, violent crimes have gone down tremendously. Whether it's directly related to video games or not is not necessarily a factor, but in my mind, I don't think violent video games, it may desensitize people a little bit to these video games, to violence, but overall, it's a way for, I'm not trying to be a dick, but crazy people to get their little creepy urges out and do it on these video games instead of stalking and raping people.
Okay, yeah, I mean, like, no, like, that's definitely true. Like, I know times where you can just get frustrated, you want to put it on a game. But at the same time, I feel like if you're a kid at, like, a certain age, you shouldn't be having this. Like
what
I mean,
kind of
the
age
where it's, like, you need to play, like, rated E games, where the most violent you'll get is, like, Super Smash Brothers. Like, I feel like there's a certain...
I was 12 and that was still in effect, damn it.
10 and under?
I'm not even 10 and under. I feel like maybe when you hit, like, 11, 12, like, when it's at the age where, like, okay, you know what, I guess it's, like, reasonable for you to, like, make a valid statement saying, okay, you know, hey, I'm an angry child, let me play, like, you know, Call of Duty or something. Like when you're 9 and you made that argument, it's like, that doesn't really hold. But, like, I mean, like I said, 12 is a pretty low number as well. Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, maybe, like, you're 14, 15, that's the age where, like, okay, you know, I'll give you some leeway. But, like, 12 years old, you know, you should still be playing, like, you know, like Dora the Explorer, like, looks for, like, the blue map or something, you know, like, there's like, certain games you should be playing at that age.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like, it's not like this is something new. It's been, though, since, like, the NES, like, there's games like Final Fight where, like, running around hitting people with pipes and stuff.
I'll be right back, I'm gonna get a beer. Two more.
But, like, I felt like stuff, like, back then wasn't as, like, it wasn't as, like, gruesome, I want to say, in a way. Like, I mean, Final Fight was bad maybe for that generation, but, like, if we take a look at, you know, like, just the graphics and everything, it wasn't, like, that bad to the point where it's
like Halo.
Like, Halo 1 was, like, far less realistic than, like, Halo 4. If we just take that series alone, like, Halo 1, like, I'm okay with, like, you know, 12-year-olds playing Halo 1 because, you know, it's not, like, I want to say it's not, like, that realistic to the point where it's, like, let's take the basic mechanics. In Halo 1, you couldn't, like, slit another Spartan's throat. In Halo 4, that is, like that is, like, very possible. Like, there's, like, they're just ways, like...
You know, I think they might have made Halo 1 M because of, whatchamacallit, Cortana.
Okay. Let's,
Wait, what?
let's reflect on this for a second. Cortana wasn't really, like, you know, the sexual icon I would envision.
I know, but, like, that was the best you could get in that kind of day in a video game.
It's just like, she looks naked, but not really.
I don't know, Halo 2, there was a lot of, if you do this on this map, you can see Cortana and Master Chief having sex naked, and it was in the same map that the Golden... Yeah, that was a rumor that was rampant in Halo 2, as well as the Golden Warthog, which I'm still not positive actually exists.
There's only one glitch in Halo 2 that I believe, because I've gotten it, but it's the Scarab gun. That's the only one I think that really does exist, because I've gotten it. But like,
depends on what you mean by glitches.
Halo 2 or, wait, which?
What do you mean by glitches? Like the multiplayer glitches, like super jumps, certain areas you can get through, just crazy BXB, BRB, stuff like that. That all existed.
I mean, like Easter eggs
assure you.
In like the single player.
Those aren't glitches.
Like,
those are Easter eggs.
Like, that's the only one. Like, I mean, glitches, I mean, like, yeah, like, I'll believe. But, like,
okay,
now nah,
nah,
like, there are certain things that, like, people say, oh, like, this exists in the game, and I'm, like, looking for it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, this is, like, the requirements for this is, like, yeah, you know, you have to, like, smash the wings off a Banshee, and then, like, beat that Banshee through, like, a small tunnel that doesn't really fit the Banshee. That's why you have to break the wings off. And then, before you get into the next scene, you have to get in the Banshee and then ride it to, like, the top of a tower and get the gun. Like stuff like that is, like, pretty difficult. Like, it took me, like, a few hours to, like, get a Banshee to do all this. And it was just, like...
The golden Warthog glitch, my guess is it does exist. It was on a multiplayer map. You had to fly a Banshee somewhere where it was not supposed to go. Then you had to scissor, not if you know what scissoring was in Halo 2. It involves swords and jumping on top of each other's heads up to certain areas. And then you had to sword cancel, which is another glitch. And then you had to sword cancel out over this giant gap and hit a nearly invisible button because it's... like in the sun, like when you're looking at the button, it's in the sun basically, and you have to hit that button. So there's a lot of crazy little Easter egg stuff they put in there.
Yeah, but I mean, like I don't know, like the entire thing of Easter eggs, like what is your favorite all-time Easter egg in a game? Like that was just like one, like it can either be the most rewarding Easter egg or just like the best Easter egg.
Oh, I gotta say, in Halo Reach, there was that room, where it was just like a Halo dev room. I don't know. It was on the one where you were trying to guard Halsey's base.
Is it the one where it's like all the past stuff from all the other games that was like, they were like VGI?
Yeah, it's just like a bunch of memorabilia, and it's really cool. I love that Easter egg.
Like, my favorite Easter egg, it was in... I don't know if you'd call it an Easter egg or a glitch, but it was in Halo 3. It was the whole Stairway to Heaven thing. Like, you had to, like, jump, like, on top of, like, platforms and, like... I think it was, like, the second mission, and you just like, keep jumping up and up, and you just go, like, way out into the game.
I feel like Easter eggs have definitely gotten more prevalent in just about every game since the dawn of games. Like, it's a big thing now to have these crazy Easter eggs, and they get posted online and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, probably, like, the craziest Easter eggs are, like, probably easily, because of how ridiculously, annoyingly hard and retarded they are, would probably be the Call of Duty whole zombie Easter eggs things.
Mine?
It's like... go on, sorry.
My favorite one easily is the Dead Space, the first Dead Space, the chapter, first letter of each word in the chapters spell out Nicole is dead. Sorry, if anybody hasn't played Dead Space, take your damn time. But when I saw that, I was over the moon. I was freaking out.
I never really had like a huge like favorite Easter egg. You know, like there's a bunch of like small ones, like small places, like you know all the GTA ones, where like you know you go to a certain place and they're like Easter eggs. They're like the heart of the city Easter egg. And there's one in San Andreas, which is, like, there is no Easter egg here, like, that entire thing. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like the best ones are, like, ones that just, like, developers are just, like, put in specifically because, you know, it's an Easter egg. Like, they know people, like, will travel like, the lengths of the map, look everywhere for, like, what, like, maybe stuff developers have put in. And the best part is when developers know and they, like, specifically put these things in certain places.
Hold on, I changed my mind. I forgot about this one. Mega Man X, the Hadouken Easter egg. Instead of a power blast, you do a Hadouken.
I just realized that, yo, most people there's a Hadouken, dude. I just want to point that out there because I didn't know what you were talking about for a second. I was like,
Hadouken. like, Hadouken, sure.
I don't know what that is.
I read these things the first time in my mind, and I think how they're pronounced. After that, that's how I pronounce them. I don't care if anybody corrects me.
Well, just, like, the characters in the in like Street Fighter, they say Hadouken out loud when they do the move.
I don't remember that.
They do. Dude, I play fighting games, like, all the time. Like, I would know.
Do you play fighting games exclusively at arcades, or do you do, like, the home, the entire, like, controller thing? Because I know there's a, the arcade sticks. I feel like I can only play fighting games with the arcade sticks. I'm just, like, so used to, like, putting coins into an arcade machine and playing, like, Street Fighter versus, like, Capcom or something like that. Like, I'm so used to it, I can't do it on a controller. Like, you give me a controller, I just don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, pretty much, like, if you're, like, new with the fighting games, like, you usually start off with a controller, but, like, once you use an arcade stick, it's really hard to go back. Cause it's just, like, infinitely better to have a stick.
Where are you guys from that you can do these arcades? I'm from middle of bumfuck nowhere, Kansas. The nearest arcade was at least 30 miles away.
Well, like, I don't have an arcade, but, like, you can buy, like, sticks that you can use for, like, home consoles, like your Xbox or whatever.
Bumfuck Kansas, dude. That's actually, like, no one's
that might not be it.
It's terrible. There's no Halo 2 tournaments. That's why I never got into that competitively. Like, there were plenty of LAN parties. Like, Halo 1, my older brothers, that was their thing. LAN parties all over the place in the middle of nowhere, literally. Like, this house 30 miles from civilization decided to do a LAN party. All of a sudden, 30 people from all over the range of about 50 miles just appear. You don't know half the people. You're just like, whatever, let's play Halo.
I don't know, dude. I always wanted to, you know, live in Kansas and stuff, because that stuff seems like, I mean, I live in New Jersey, so, like, everything is, like, pretty close to me. Like, I grew up with an arcade, like, maybe, like, 10 miles from me, and that was, like, a big deal, because, like, all my guy friends when we were younger, we would always head there and, like, play all those games. And, you know, Halo, like, LAN tournaments were, like, really, like, relatively close to me. Like, we would just have one. And because, like, plus, New York is, like, legitimately, like, a bus ride away. It's never too far. So, you know, anything that was going on in New York, I could just, like, if I really had the desire to, I could just head over there.
If I was where you were, I legitimately think I would be attempting as hard as I can to be a pro gamer right now. Because out here, like, the first 2 years of even the 360, gaming was a complete, like, negative in everybody's minds. If I say, like, yeah, I play a lot of video games, I'm automatically the nerd or the loser. And it's not that that wasn't true, but this is Kansas. There's the cliques here, there's, like, two or three of them. And if you're outside of that, you're, like, I'm the emo kid because I got a tattoo. It's not an emo tattoo. It's not, like, a tear on my face or anything. It's just...
Is dancing not allowed in your town?
Are you forbidden to dance?
If it's not, like, extremely rap or extremely country, like, no. Like,
do you live
it's
on the
not
set
allowed.
Of Footloose? That's what we're asking.
God, no.
I don't know. I feel there's definitely those cliques there. But, you know, the thing about, like, you know, the Midwest is that you, like, they breed, like, football players, lacrosse players. Like, I'm being serious. Like, that's something I wish. Like, in New Jersey, like, I completely understand. I do tennis and stuff. But, like a good comparison is, like, tennis in New Jersey is okay. But tennis in Florida is just, like, they just breed tennis players because all they do is it's forever sunny. Like, you'll get, like, a hurricane every now and then. But, you know, like, the majority of the time, it's, like, sunny, nice. You know, like, sometimes I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind, like, you know, like, being growing up and playing lacrosse or, like, playing soccer or, like, football.
It's the exact opposite here. There's not as much soccer here in Kansas as you would think. The bigger schools have it. Most of it's focused on football. I come from a 3A school. Football was the god to my entire high school. Football players got whatever they wanted. Everybody went to all the football games and that. And if you said something bad about the football team, you would hear about it from your parents. because every such a small area, yeah, it's such a small area that once something gets out, everybody knows it. Like, I could tell a secret to anybody, they'd say something about it to their mom, it would, it's the ultimate rumor mill. It's the rumor factory.
So, the more we know, what we have learned from this podcast is don't move to Kansas.
The one thing we do allow, which is awesome, is lots of guns. There's plenty of space for, like, off-roading, doing, like, country out in the middle of nowhere where nobody will... You can do whatever you want and nobody will know about it. Including doing stuff like buying... Something a lot of my friends used to do is buy shitty used cars and ramp them off culverts of fields and just tear them to shit and then tow them out the next day. Shoot stuff you really shouldn't shoot, like propane tanks. Trying to make bombs was a big hobby among my family. they were all failures except myself.
I don't know if it's just like...
I don't know. They might have, you know, all been...
Perhaps.
Just putting it out there.
Well, my family is fairly large. They didn't do any research. They didn't do anything. When I went to make a bomb, I went to the Pirates Dictionary, and I'm a little bit of a chemistry buff. I learned up, you know, I learned how to make these things, and a lot of it's not very hard. You can make from battery acid... And iron oxide. Iron oxide is pretty flammable if you ignite it right. I mean, I've made thermite. I've made all sorts of crazy shit. Some of it legal, some of it not.
I just realized that if we put this on YouTube, there's a very good instance that, like, randomly we'll get, like, a couple hundred views and, like, the NSA will call your house, Ethan. And, like, just, like, request...
Good luck.
They will go.
Sure, why not? Stop using my real name and maybe I have a better chance. Call me Isman, damn it. Oh, there's much worse people in Kansas, I assure you. There's terrible, terrible things that I know of that have been done. That
what, like inbreeding?
Okay.
Is that actually a thing in Kansas?
That's more west than Kansas. That's western Kansas and like North Dakota and stuff. There's really not that much inbreeding here, despite what people think. There's a lot of rednecks here, but we're the rednecks who like to light stuff on fire, blow stuff up, shoot stuff, and build things that go fast.
How many tornadoes do you have?
A fair amount. Have you ever met
Dorothy?
No. I was retarded.
That was a good one.
I don't know if this is just because, like, my friends are weird, but, like, there's this guy I know from Montana who I met at school, and he told me, like, one day, like, he just called me and was like, hey, you know, all my friends made new friends and have new friend groups, but, you know, I got a new gun, and I was like, what? And apparently, you know, he, like, really does, like, you know, love his guns, and he just told me, you know, if I have no friends to hang out with, I'm just gonna shoot my gun, like, all through, like, summer. I was like, okay, that's pretty exciting.
There's weirder people than that. A kid I know, his first name was James. His second name was pretty generic as well. But he came to class every day of high school, occasionally in a suit, mind you, at least like once a week. I think it was on Thursdays. He would come in a suit, but he would come every day with a cow vertebrae on a shoestring tied around his neck.
That sounds delicious.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty badass, actually.
That's pretty fucking creepy.
Dude, I would not mess with that kid, dude. That kid has the time and determination to find a cow vertebrae to tie around his neck. That's like determination.
It's the country, dude. You can find cow vertebrae anywhere.
That's just pretty determination, though. But like, if that's considered weird, that guy must have been like, what is the weirdest thing I can do? And the problem inside was like, if I bring like a Colt 9mm, that's not going to be weird. But what would be weird?
I have the video of this guy. I have a video that you should put in the link dump. It's got, wow, it's already, it has 8,288 views since, a lot, yeah, the hall monitor. It was that guy, he wasn't wearing, you can tell which one he is as soon as it comes to the point that you see him, you know. But, put that in a link dump if you guys have one, and, I want to see how many more views it gets because of this.
Two more views.
Yeah,
a good views? Three or awesome. Four.
Good, excellent. Sounds about right. It's actually a pretty funny video, but the kid is one of the creepiest people I've ever met in my life.
The more you know.
The more you know my ass.
Someone has a message. Let's see. I'll be back in a second. Okay.
Oh, Johnny's gone. Let's make fun of him while he's gone. Johnny, you suck. I hate you.
No.
Anybody else?
I don't know who Johnny is, but his picture sucks.
It's just a blue Charmander. It's just a blue Charmander.
It's a blue Charmander. What a loser.
What?
Oh, wait. Yeah, his name is Blue Mander.
I don't even know what
just
my name
realize
is.
That.
My picture is.
It's like two white here? People and an Asian person.
You mean the, God, what is that called?
Your profile picture on Skype?
No. I got this. Okay. Vietnamese shame wheel.
I have no idea what that is. Is it...
if you don't know...
Is this a Kansas thing?
It sounds a lot like you're tied up on it, and you, like, are on it. It's like the wheel of... I don't know.
Don't
hard to explain what
the
I'm
Vietnamese
thinking.
Shame wheel. If you don't know it, don't ask.
Is
you're
like
not
the,
ready.
Like the Russian bobsled.
A lot. Don't ask.
Russian
you're
bobsled.
Not ready.
That's all I gotta ask.
Is it like, so you know how like people are on like those wheels and then people throw knives at them while they're spinning. Is it like that, but instead of knives, there's whips?
Don't ask. You're not ready. That's the answer to every question you have.
Came back at a weird time.
It's a reference to something. Don't ask, you're not ready.
Is it a Pacific Rim job?
God.
No. Oh, dude, okay, I wanted to talk about that. On the Rooster Teeth podcast.
Really?
We talked about that last week.
On the Rooster Teeth podcast, I actually... Barbara mentioned that, and I actually didn't know that she said that when I said it on the other podcast. So, me and Barbara thought of the same thing. I'm proud of that.
She's a big fan.
Specifically, like more dedicated than everyone else. Which reminds me, also, does someone realize that, you know, like, there were actually like, girls on the forum? Like, was this a surprise to anyone, like, at all? This was a surprise to me. I was pretty surprised to find there were females.
It's 2013. There's females everywhere now. Not necessarily females that you're attracted to, but females.
On the forums.
Wait, on what?
Also, I don't know. Is the appearance of a female on this podcast like eminent? Are we gonna break the sex barrier? Are we gonna allow women to?
Well, there were two girls interested. One had gonna be on the last week that hadn't come out yet. I don't know if will come out, but she had family stuff. And there was one that was gonna be on this week, and she just never got in touch with us. Like, there's no gender barrier at all. Like, we don't care, like, if you're a guy, a male, a transvestite, genderless, I don't care. As long as you're funny.
If you want to make them feel as awkward as possible, put me on the same podcast. I will ask questions that should not be asked.
Should not be asked?
Should
I don't know
that
I want to be on that podcast.
It won't get too dirty, but it will be hilarious to some extent. Or at least for me, but I have no line.
Oh, man.
You know, that line you're willing to cross?
Life?
My line is
so
miles away.
When he does send you his audio track, delete the email. And just
yeah.
Well,
it's not an
just,
email.
Just, no.
I'm just gonna
conveniently forget that he has provided you with your
be afraid.
Drive.
Be afraid.
So, you're never gonna appear on the podcast again.
It happens.
It happens.
It happens.
This is not the first time that Ethan has been kicked off podcast after the first.
not off a podcast. Generally, people don't get my sense of humor, and generally don't take a lot of my negativity is sarcasm, and they just don't understand it. That doesn't make it.
Don't worry, man.
That doesn't make it not negative, but it's a joke, and nobody else gets it except.
Not negative is in proper grammar.
So like.
You know
like
what I'm
positive,
trying to say? Goddamn it.
It's like the word positive.
No, not really.
Like not negative.
It's awful.
I am. Let me count the bottles. This is my 7th beer, so give me some leeway here.
How old are you?
I'm almost 22. Oof. Don't worry about that.
Almost.
I thought we would. This
okay.
Would never be put out.
Yeah. This
in the
next
in the
out.
Next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll turn 22. Yeah. But in Kansas, drinking is a pretty big thing as well. Like something that happens a lot. You'll get pulled over for a DUI. They'll make you pour your beer out in a ditch, and then they'll tell you to go home.
Okay, that's
interesting.
I don't drink and drive, so I wouldn't know, but I've gotten a lot of reports of such things.
Here you just get arrested.
I mean, I think that's pretty normal procedures. You get arrested for that stuff.
You get arrested and you get sent to the drunk tank for the night, and then you get served with a DUI. One of my friends got a DUI recently. Made me laugh my ass off. But it depends on how big the... Like, if it's a big party and you... Out in the country, there's 5 to 10 people sitting in a living room drinking. The cops aren't going to get called. And then there's everybody for 20 miles is at your house getting wasted. And cops get called on those ones fairly often. And, like, the first few people they'll arrest, and after that they'll just be like, just go away.
I want Jeremy to kind of take a look at the beginning, the clips of the beginning of the episode versus now. The accent that Ethan has definitely was not as prominent as at the beginning of the video, so we should.
So when he gets drunk, his accent comes out.
That,
okay.
You know, like we should.
We're just gonna use this against him.
What's my accent?
Just a,
please.
I don't know.
You have a southern accent. You have a very distinct southern accent.
Oh. I don't say words like y'all. I mean,
I do.
The way I speak is like, fairly southern, yes, but I'm not from Texas. And the one thing I hate more than anything is the word y'all.
Y'all?
Fucking despise that word. It is the ultimate turnoff.
Y'all really,
turn-off
y'all really
for
hate
chicks.
That?
Yes. If a woman says y'all, I don't care if they're the hottest person on the earth. Y'all. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Sounds like
I messed up dicks.
There.
I was gonna say that, but I messed it up.
Now y'all you're using it incorrectly. He was about to, but you're saying y'all in a.
Y'all should go see a doctor.
Referring to
like
the general,
it's just me. Y'all is plural.
Referring to the population of Kansas, like y'all, as in Kansas, need to you know do something about this. Y'all, you know, like.
See a therapist? A lot of us do.
Y'all should go see a therapist, seriously.
That's going to be the tagline for this episode.
that is, like, actually something that's pretty interesting. So, my friends took a trip to Montreal, and I was, like, really, like... Because one thing, like, I was always curious is, like, do Canadians actually say a boot? And it's 100% true. They actually do say a boot. Like I thought it was just like, oh, South Park exaggerated, or like, you know, people are just like screwing with me. But, you know, they went to Montreal and they brought back videos, and legitimately they just do say a boot. Although, like, some people, that's like deep Canada. That's like the deepest accent in Canada. Otherwise, it's like a boat. Like A-B-O-A-T, you know, a boat. But, like, otherwise, you know, it's pretty heavy.
Have you ever met a deep Canadian or whatever that have you ever met one?
I
just
have.
At all?
What's the difference between a regular and a deep Canadian?
I guess
Canadian?
This is where the accent's from. I mean, I say deep Canadian because I have no idea where the accent's from. Like, I.
What was your impression from this Canadian?
Was it
a male or female?
Completely normal.
What did you think
normal.
Of him?
Like, I thought, like, I was expecting something else. Like, I was expecting, you know, a very nice person that was, like, apologetic, you know, and stuff like that. But pretty much...
Ooh. Along the border, they're like that. They're just normal people. They have a slight accent. The further you get into Canada, the more this holds true, that all males are complete fucking assholes. Females are super nice.
So we have a few theories we need to test, drive further north into Canada. But it's also because as you drive further north, you start going to the North Pole. Like, there's a certain level where there are more penguins than there are humans.
I don't know. Let me Google it. I feel like there's no penguins in the North Pole.
No, there are more polar bears in the North Pole. That's one per se. There are more polar bears. I mean, either way, like, you know, the quantity of, like, exotic wildlife that lives in the snow overcomes the human population at some point. Like, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's true. Wait.
There are almost no wild penguins in the Northern Hemisphere except the small group on the northernmost Galapagos.
I think Robert did.
Most penguins are based in the South Pole. The more you know.
No, that's not true. You're...
No.
You got it all out of whack.
No, most penguins are in the South Pole. There are very few in the North.
It's because I stand by this. Polar bears in the North and polar bears eat penguins.
How did...
Polar bears eat a lot of shit.
Specifically, like, you know, they're polar bears that eat penguins, specifically.
Seals.
Navy seals. Like, they eat the Navy seals.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Navy seals. No. No, the ones that have, you know, guns but are pansies, so they don't use them on the polar bear that's eating them.
Are we talking about the polar bears having guns for hands?
No, we're talking about the Canadian military.
Once again, I ask, is there actually... No, I know there's a Canadian military. I'm not even going to go there. But they're called Mounties. The local, like, law enforcement are Mounties.
That's completely different than the military. Military and local enforcement officers are two completely different things.
Well, it's like, military for Canada is...
One are federal, one are, I don't know, in Canadian
provincial.
Regional?
Yeah.
Provincial?
No, but the reason why I say that is because the military in Canada is pretty much the same thing as the military anywhere. Like, it's not like saying, oh, you know, there's a big difference. Not really.
Well, theirs isn't as big.
Okay, if we're going to go into size, you know, there's always the country of Malta, which might not have a military. Malta's
an island off in Italy.
That was functioned as like a fortress, and then like in the middle of like World War II, they were like, we're a country, which is the same thing for like other small things like, you know, Andorra. And yeah, I mean Andorra is like a random thing in the mountains.
They're like halfway between Italy and Africa.
That's Malta. Malta is almost there. Almost African.
It's almost halfway. Yeah. If the rest, I don't know. I'm in a history class right now. Corsica and what's that other tiny island next to Italy? Sicily. Yeah, they didn't have any part in the war, World War II at all.
The more you know.
Yay,
history.
Before
we get too off of geography, I have a kind of a serious question and debate that I've had for like 2 years. In your guys' professional opinion, like, would you say that Filipinos are Asian?
Like, what do you mean by that? Do you mean, like, do I as a mainland Asian consider Filipinos to be Asian? Or is, like, the general, like, geographic and continental structure of it?
That's kind of the point of, like, because Asians are people from Asia. It doesn't matter where, and the Philippines are part of the continent Asia, so let me make them Asian. But I hear people telling me, no, that's not right, just
because
they're an island.
Located on the same oceanic plate. The clarification of Asian mainly comes from the fact that they're all located on the same, like the same like fault plate. They're like located on the same plate, which is why we make a difference between Oceania and Asia, because Australia and like New Zealand and like those areas are a separate plate from the Philippines and you know the rest of that stuff. Like technically, India isn't really part of Asia geographically. Geographically, it's not. But politically,
India is on its own plate.
India shares.
It does what it wants.
Technically, with Australia, so they're closer linked to Australia than they are with Asia.
Didn't know that.
But I mean, India technically is a subcontinent if we're really being specific about this all. But like, you know, like I think that both politically and geographically, the Philippines are closely related to Asia, like, to the point where we call them Asian.
I think a lot of it has to do with the original, like, advanced cultures. Like, China was an original advanced culture when Australia had, even when British got there, it was Aborigines. They were not advanced at all. In the Philippines, it was, I don't think it was that habited of an area as compared to China as a whole, or Asia as a whole. I mean, Japan had tons of crazy people.
I don't know, do they classify themselves as Pacific Islanders?
That's what they classify themselves as, but, like, it's, like, you can use the same argument as Japan. Japan's not, like, connected to, like, what you people would consider Asia, because they're off on an island. Japan's an island, but it's still Asian. Like, you still consider them Asian. So why would the Philippines be any different from that?
Like, I feel though it's more like the location of it, because if you look at Japan from like the rest of Asia, it's pretty close. Like, Philippines kind of has an argument, I guess, in a way. But I mean, like, that's why, like, I feel like honestly, if you're really gonna go that far, Pacific Islander is a term that people use. But I don't think you're necessarily wrong by using the word Asian.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the argument I have is, well, I have a Philippine friend who, shout out to Kristen, I know you're not listening, but who constantly says he is no way Asian, and I'm telling
Wilson.
Him every day.
Wilson. No. Oh, wait. It looks to me like he has to leave in the middle of the podcast. That's so unprofessional. Wilson.
We can just finish. We can do a question and then wrap up really quick.
Wait, how long have we been going?
About an hour.
Wow, I have not been paying attention. Damn. Okay.
Yeah, let's roll on the questions. You're like
I thought
dead
we were like
30
minutes
half
in.
Podcast. We thought you were gone. We thought you went to the Shadow Realm.
No, I'm not in the Shadow Realm yet. Sloyfa for the Skoy Dragon is reducing all his attack by 2,000.
Did you use Man-Eater Bug? I think it's OP, yo. So let's go on to questions, I guess. Ow, my fucking foot. First question is, if you could move to any place in the world, where would you move?
Wait, there's questions? If I could move to any place in the world, where would I move?
Yeah, everyone.
Canada.
Sorry.
Well, you other two think, I'll say mine. Being from California, I like California weather, and it's good. And it feels nice in my body. I wouldn't want to move far.
My body.
Absolutely.
I feel like you're rubbing yourself right now. It feels nice in my body.
I actually am. Can't see it, but I really am. I like the weather here, and I wouldn't want to move. So I'd probably... I live in kind of like a smaller area in Anaheim. I can see Disneyland. It's pretty cool. But I always thought San Diego looked pretty nice to live in. It looked like a nice little community. What about
you? I would probably go to somewhere like Austin or probably West Coast, but not anywhere big. Maybe on the outskirts of something like San Diego, but I mean outskirts.
You mean like Kansas?
No, that's not outskirts. That's a different state. If my goal in high school was to get out of Kansas, I failed. I got as far as I could. K-State. Not that far.
Not that far at all. Kansas State, dude. That's like...
I know.
Still Kansas, dude.
Do you know how much out-of-state college costs, man?
Going out of state.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it sucks a cock. I don't have that much money.
I'm
from Kansas. K-State is as far as I could get.
In terms of cost, many, many donuts.
As long as it's not beer.
What about you, Jeremy?
What? I would probably... I don't know where I'd go. That's a hard question. I don't know. I mean, I am in California, the best state in the United States.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Where in the world would I go?
California.
No, I'd probably go to, like, Hawaii. Wait, can I just go there for, like, live there, no expenses or anything? Or is it just, like, I could take a trip there?
Well, it's, like, how you live right now, but in a different state. Or whatever.
Probably Hawaii, gotta say.
I've heard Hawaii has a bunch of pack rats.
Pack rats, man.
Those rats are getting big.
Alright, so next question. What place that you have visited has been your favorite place you visited?
So the only place I've ever visited besides California has been Vegas. Never been out of state except for Vegas, so that's my favorite. Also, Let's Play the Ship Part 1 is out.
Oh yeah, it's out to that. Woo! I didn't watch it yet. So I guess I'll go. Probably, I went to Vegas because my cousin turned 21 and he got drunk while I had nothing to do because it's Vegas and I wasn't old enough to drink, so...
Yeah, I was like 12.
Yeah. So I just went to, there's like a place called the Pinball Hall of Fame, and they just have like pinballs from like where it started to like where they are now, and there's like arcade game machines. It's pretty legit. That and SCR 2013 was pretty cool.
Wait, what's happening?
Science.
I'll answer Canada for most place countries. So, why is he not talking? Canada.
Well, I guess Wilson left. Just make sure you don't lose this thing.
Wilson.
Dude, it's just like Castaway.
Wilson.
I can hear him type, but he's not talking.
No tears, I mean, only dreams.
I'm gonna see what next off. Right, so yeah.
No
make sure
dreams
you,
for you.
If you lose this, I'm gonna cry. Right, anyway, what about you, Ethan?
I would say... Honestly, the most fun I've had out of state is probably RTX in Austin, Texas. I've been to Florida when I was younger. It wasn't terrible, but there were a lot of really old guys in Speedos. And then the group call died. And I'm answering a group call. Like I was saying...
I might have dropped the host or something. I don't know.
No,
go back.
Like I was saying, Florida had a lot of old men Speedos. I've been to North and South Carolina. That was actually pretty good, but it's the Atlantic Ocean. The Pacific Ocean is better. Niagara Falls was decent.
Pacific Ocean is awesome.
Gulf of Mexico is pretty good. I liked that.
Never been. I've just heard there's giant octopi.
I didn't see those. It was when I was a little kid, so I don't remember that well. It was just clearer than the Atlantic in general.
Did you all have a good time at least?
Yeah.
Alright, so last question. This is kind of simple. What video game genre is your favorite?
First person shooter is what I'm best at. Like Call of Duty, I mean, they're all the same game, but it's still what I'm best at.
I guess I'll go. I like beat 'em ups a lot because they're fun, and Rampage is like one of the best games ever made.
Rampage? I love Rampage.
But yeah, World 2 always so good.
That's. I'd probably go to anything original, really. I mean, Alan Wake made my day. Mirror's Edge, easily my favorite game ever. Kingdom Hearts wasn't necessarily original, but I mean, it's my favorite game because over Mirror's Edge even. I know I said it was my favorite. But I have quite a few tattoos of Kingdom Hearts. It was just at a rough period in my life, you know. It helped me through shit. Video games for the win.
Yay. All right, so that's questions. So you can always send your own unique question in. We'll most likely read anything, no matter what it is. And you can send that in at transmissioninbound@gmail.com. It's also in the link dump if you couldn't understand what I said. We also have the RT group, which will also be in the link dump, which is just, I think it's Transmission Inbound Podcast. I don't know the name of the group. And then we have the YouTube, which you may or may not be on right now, which is just youtube.com/transmissioninbound. And that's the closing statements that we have for this podcast.
Wait, okay.
What do you want to say to me?
What just happened? Also, for the next podcast, I am looking for someone to edit, because editing sucks and it's annoying.
Well, that one guy said he edited the one where you were out of town. We'll just get him.
My only problem is my mic is hard to edit, so I think I'll probably edit my own and then give it to somebody and then they can do it the rest.
If you want, because that one guy, I forgot his name, I feel bad, but he said he edited the one, he did a good job, and he said he'll be willing to edit any future episode, so he can do it.
If it wasn't this and next week, I wouldn't care, but it's finals on summer semester next week, so I'm busy as shit.
Yay. I might be here not again, yay. But I might not. It's absolutely yay.
Anytime it's you'd yay like to have me back, I'd be game.
You'd be game? Get out.
Ethan, never to appear on another podcast.
Exactly.
He was a one-time guest. He'll never be back, except probably he'll be back.
In fact, we're banishing him from the RT site.
We're going to have a shadow game after this podcast. He's going to get banished.
You hurt my feelings.